Okay, let's start again. So again, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Chasen v'hashashvinen v'chol b'nei chuppah, Turim min ha'tfilah min ha'tfilah min chayavim b'krishma, Yishum Rabbi Shila, Amru Chasen Pater, v'hashashvinen v'chol b'nei ha'chuppah chayavim. So again, according to the Tana Kama, the Chasa and all of his friends, everyone at the chuppah, they're all Pater from Shmona Esrei and from Tfilin, again, because of lightheadedness and lack of kavana. They are, however, chayav in Shema, because as Rashi points out, and this is a general machlokas we've shown him, but we assume that only the first pasuk of Shema really requires kavana. So the assumption is, even if you're a little bit lightheaded and drunk, you can focus for at least the first pasuk. Rabbi Shila says that these exemptions only apply to the chasa himself. All the other members of the wedding are chayav in everything. What's the distinction there? So Rashi explains, based on the Gemara in Brachos, that the chasan, he's totally preoccupied with, the Gemara in Brachos says, with Be'ila Rishona, with the fact that he's going to engage in the mitzvah of Be'ir Rishona, having relations with his wife for the first time. So that's totally taking up his head, his mind, and he can't focus. Now, L'maisa L'halacha, we don't accept this at all. We assume that a chasan, even the night of his wedding, is chayav in Shema. The reason for that, according to most poskim, is because we assume that today no one really has kavana anyway, even when they're saying anything, even on a normal night. So the assumption is, okay, so the chasan doesn't have a lot of kavana, you know, so he won't have a lot of kavana the next night either. So it's not the end of the world. So we assume that a chasan's chayav in Shema, even the night of his wedding. Okay.
Rabbi, you're saying chayav in Shema. What about Shmona Esrei also?
No, so yeah. We assume halacha, everyone, you know, bezman hazeh, you're chayav in everything, because the assumption is that guy doesn't have that much kavana for anything. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, Kosei Svarim Tfilin Mezuzos, Hein Vesagarein, Vesagrei Sagarein, V'chol Ha'uskin, Memalecha Shemayim, La'asuye Mochre Tcheles, Pturim, Mikriyashma, Menatfilo, Menatfilin, Umikol Mitzvah, So Amuros, Batoro, Lakayim, Div, Rabbi Yosei Aglili, Shehoi, Rabbi Yosei Aglili, Omer, Ha'usik, B'mitzvah, Pater, Menamitzvah. The Gemara echoes the very famous idea that when a person's engaged in one mitzvah, they're exempt from another, which basically the Gemara says, if a guy is writing a Sefer Torah, Tfilin, Mezuzah, or a person is selling, you know, Sefer Torah, Tfilin, or he's selling tchelas, or any one of these things, if he's engaged in that mitzvah, he's going to be pater from all of the, from Shema, from Shmona Esrei, from Tfilin, etc. The other Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Holchei Drachim Bayom Turim and Asuka Bayom V'chayavin Balayla, Holchei Drachim Balayla Turim and Asuka Balayla V'chayavin Bayom, Holchei Drachim Bayom Uvalayla Turim and Asuka Bein Bayom Uvein Balayla, Holchei Lidvar Mitzvah Turim Bein Bayom Uvein Balayla. So the Gemara says, if a guy is traveling on Sukkis, so at the time that he's traveling, he's pater from Sukkah. If he travels by day, he's pater by day. If he travels by night, he's putter by night. If he travels day and night, then he's putter both by day and by night. If a person is on their way to go do a mitzvah, they're also putter from sukkah. Ki hader of chista v'rabba baravuna, ki havu aile b'shabsa derigla leveresh galusa, havu ganu araksa desura, amre anan shluche mitzvah ananu fturin. The Gemara echoes this idea by pointing out that Rochista and Rabba Baravuna would often go to the Resh Galusa on the Shabbos, you know, Shabbos Cholamoi, Shabbos of Yontif, to go listen to his shir, and they would sleep by the banks of the Sura River. They wouldn't sleep in a sukkah, and they said, the reason for that is because we're shluchei mitzvah. We're on our way to go do a mitzvah, to go listen to Torah from the Reish Galusa. Therefore, we're exempt from sukkah, as we just pointed out. Then the Gemara says,
when you say exempt, does that mean the guy can go ahead and, let's say, eat bread and everything?
Yeah, I mean, exempt from sukkah means, you know, you could do every, the same way that you're not supposed to eat in the sukkah when it's raining, you're exempt from, you eat inside. Okay. It's the same idea. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Shomri ha'ir bayom p'turim and asuka bayom v'chayavim balayla, Shomri ha'ir balayla p'turim and asuka balayla v'chayavim bayom, Shomri ha'ir bein bayom uvein balayla p'turim and asuka bein bayom uvein balayla. Again, very similar idea. If you're a guard of the city, so depending on when you're guarding, that during that time you're pater from sukkah. Shomri ganosu fardesim p'turim bein bayom uvein balayla. So if a guy is guarding a garden or an orchard to prevent people from stealing the fruit, so he's pater from sukkah all the time, but both by day and by night. So the Gemara asks, Vili avde sukkah hasim balis, why can't just build a sukkah next to the garden, next to the orchard? So the Gemara has two opinions. Abaye Amar Teishru Ka'in Taduru, Rava Amar Pirtza Kora Laganav. Abaye says that the reason why he's not chayev in sukkah if he's guarding the garden or orchard is because that's not called Teishru Ka'in Taduru. We know that one of the salient features of sukkah is that it has to model the way you live in your house. So the guy's going to have to go and schlep his entire, everything he owns, go build a sukkah, 20 miles away by the orchard. That's not Teishru Ka'in Taduru. That's not normal. Usually the sukkah is built right next to your house because everything's accessible. It's easy to get everything there. Rava says the reason why he's putter is because if he sits in a sukkah all day, then he's not doing his job. He's sitting inside. People could just walk in and steal things, and he's not going to realize. So the Gemara says, my benai, what's the difference between these two approaches? At the end of the day, everyone agrees that a guy who's guarding the garden or the orchard is putter from sukkah. So who cares if it's because it's not teishu ke'in taduru or because people may steal the fruit? So the Gemara says, ika benai to come minter kari de pear. The nafkamina would be if, let's say, he's guarding a pile of fruit. So a pile of fruit he can watch while sitting in the sukkah. So according to Rava, he would be chayav, but according to Abaye, it's still not called teishu kein tadur, so he would still be pater. Okay, then the Mishnah said, cholim shamshan, that a person who's ill and the people who are helping them out are all pater from sukkah. Tana Rabbanan, chola sha'amru, lo chola sheyesh bo sakana, ela afilu chola she'in bo sakana, afilu chash be'ina, va'afilu chash berosha. So according to the Tana Kama, you don't have to be deathly ill to be putter from sukkah. You can even just have a little headache, because something with your eye, something with your head, and again, even something very minor can exempt you from sukkah as well. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, pamachas chashdi be'inai be'keisari, v'hita Rabbi Yossi beribi lishan aniyu misham sheichotz l'sukkah. In fact, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said one time, he had some issue with his eye, again, a minor issue, and Rabbi Yossi beribi permitted him to sleep outside of the sukkah. Rav Sharalar of Acha Bardala lemagana bekilta besukkah mishum bake. Rav allowed Rav Acha Bardala to sleep in the netting of the sukkah, which we saw a lot about back in the first parak. That's not really called part of the sukkah at all because of all the bugs, the fleas that were gonna attack him. Rav Sharalar le Rabbi Acha Barada lemagana barmi betalalta mishum sircha dir gargishta. And the Gemara says that Rav allowed Rav Acha to sleep outside of the sukkah because the stench of the earth was so overpowering in the sukkah that it was going to be considered a form of mitzvah, so he was exempt from sukkah as well. And the Gemara says, Rava litame, da'ama Rava mitzvah pater mena sukkah. As we know, Rava holds that a person who's in pain, again, pain doesn't have to be, literal, it could just be uncomfortable, such a person is pater from sukkah. So the Gemara asks, v'hanan tanan, chola shamsham tur mena sukkah, chola in mitzvah lo. Didn't the Mishnah only give an exemption to a chola, implying that a person who's just a mitzvah would be chayav in sukkah? So the Gemara says, no, amre chola hu mishamshav turim mitzvah hu pater mishamshav lo. The difference is that a chola is not only pater from sukkah himself, but all the people who are helping the chola, his attendants, the people who are helping him out, are also pater from sukkah, whereas a mitztayer, he himself is pater from sukkah, but those helping him are not going to be exempt from sukkah. Okay. Then we said, ochle machila saraychot sukkah. One is permitted to eat a casual snack, something that's not a full-fledged meal outside of the sukkah. So the question, of course, is, v'chama achila saray, what constitutes a snack for these purposes? So amar Rav Yosef tarte otlas bay. Rav Yosef holds, 2 or 3 eggs worth of food is considered a snack. So Amar le Abayev hazim and sagi and sagi le leinish b'hachi v'havu leisudas kevin. The Abayev says, "What do you mean? Some people make that into a full meal. We know that benching, mida oraisa is on a kibitza. So eating 2 or 3 kibitzim is like a whole. Is more than a whole meal. So why is Rav Yosef calling that just a snack? So the Gemara says, "Elo Amar Abayev ki detoyim bar be'rav ayalechal." The Abayev says, "No. What the Mishnah meant to say was that it's the amount of food that the Talmidim used to snack on before going into this year. So it was a pretty small amount of food." Then the Gemara says, "Tana Rabban." Although one is permitted to eat to snack outside of the sukkah, one is not permitted to even take a quick nap outside of the sukkah. My time, what's the reason for that? Rav Ashi says the concern is that you may fall into a deep sleep and then you may go to sleep outside of the sukkah. So Amar le Abaye, Elo Hadisanya, Yashin Adam Shenas Aray Bitfilin, Avalo Shenas Keva Lecha Shema Yeradim. But by that logic, asks the Gemara, why is it okay for a person to nap while wearing tefillin? Why are we not concerned they may fall asleep? Now, what's the issue in general with sleeping in tefillin? It's the whole sugya Mesech Shabbos, right? The Gemara says either we're afraid that you may come to pass gas or you may come to have an emission. Again, there are various issues that may come that arise. So the question is, why am I allowed to nap with my tefillin on? Won't that lead me to falling into a deep sleep? So Amar Rav Yosef Berei de Rav Ilai, but most are Shenasu La'achin. The Gemara says, you're right. You basically told someone else to wake you up. In other words, you basically either you literally set an alarm clock or you told someone to come wake you up. So there's no chance you're going to fall into a deep sleep. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What if the guy that you told to wake you up also falls asleep? So now you may fall into a deep sleep. So the Gemara says, you're right. According to Rabba Bar Bar Chana, the guy is sleeping in a very uncomfortable way. He's sleeping with his head between his legs, between his knees. So there's no way he's going to really fall into a deep sleep in such a position. Rava says that when it comes to sleep, there's no such thing as permanence. In other words, there's no distinction between napping, between real sleeping. Everything is usher when in that context. According to Rava.
Outside of this, exactly.
In other words, the assumption is that you can't basically mandate how much sleep a person gets. Meaning, a person could have one guy who just needs a 10-minute nap and it'll be fine. So for that person, that is called an act of permanent sleep. So you can't say, in other words, you can't really say that anything is a nap, because for one person, what you think is a nap may actually be considered full fledged sleep. So according to Rava, everything is off the table. Even what we call napping is going to be usher to do outside of the sukkah. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tani Chada, Yashin Adam Matilin Shinas Araya Veloshinas Keva, Vesani Idach Bain Keva Bain Arai, Vesani Idach Lo Keva Veloray. So we have a three-way contradiction regarding whether one is allowed to sleep with their tefillin on. One Brisa says that a person is allowed to nap with tefillin but not go into a deep sleep. One Brisa says they're even allowed to go into a deep sleep, and one Brisa says they can't even nap. So how do you resolve these three Brisas? And which says, Lo Kasha, Hadi Nakit Lubiade, Hadi Manche Bereshe, Hadi Paras Sudra Ilave. So one Brisa is when you're holding your tefillin in your hand. So that in that case, you can't even nap because you may drop the tefillin on the floor. That's a problem. The second Brisa is talking about when you're wearing tefillin on your head. If you're wearing the tefillin, so you can nap, but you can't go into a deep sleep. If you took off your tefillin and covered them, then obviously you can even go into a deep sleep. Then the Gemara says, V'chamashin asarai, what's considered a nap? So Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Kedei Hiluch Mea Amah. It's the distance that it takes to walk 100 amos, which is, again, depending on which measurements you're using, anywhere between 15 and 18 feet. So again, not a very long, time frame. Tanam Yahachi, Ayashim Betilin Veroa Keri, Ochis Varetsua, Veino Ochis Bektitsa Divre Reb Yaakov, the Chachamim Omer Yashin Adam Betilin Shena Saraya, Velo Shena Skeva, the Chamashena Sarai, Kedei Hiluch Mea Amah. So first of all, the Gemara just quotes that if, let's say, a person fell asleep while wearing tefillin, and then they had an emission. So now the question is that, you know, the person who has an emission is tameh in a sense. So the question is, what do you do with your tefillin now? So the Gemara says you should grab the tefillin by the ritzuos, by the strap, but not by the actual bias of the tefillin. That's according to Reb Yaakov. The Chachamim say that a person lechachila is allowed to take a nap with their tefillin on. They just can't go into a deep sleep. And again, the definition of a nap for these purposes, as we just pointed out, is the amount of time that it takes to walk 100 amos. Amar Rav, Asur la Adam Lishan Bayom Yosar Mishena Sasus, the Chama Shena Sasus Shitin Nishme. The Gemara says this is more of a general principle, again, not just, you know, tefillin related. A person is not permitted to sleep during the day in general more than the amount of time that a horse sleeps. How much time does a horse sleep? The Gemara says 60 breaths, which is something like 30 minutes or so. The Gemara says one is not allowed to nap more than 30 minutes during the daytime. The Gemara says Amar Abaye, Shinsei Demar Kidarav, Udarav Kidarebi, Udarebi Kidadavid, Vidavid Kidis. In fact, the Gemara pointed out that all these different Amoraim used to follow the sleep patterns of David HaMelech, and as we know from the Gemara at the very beginning of Maseches Brachos, right, David would only sleep, during short intervals at a time. He would only sleep for the amount of time that a horse slept, which again, 60 breaths or about 30 minutes. And in fact, the Gemara says, "Abai have a naim kidemayel be pumpadisa levekuve kareli Rav Yosef ad masai atzel tishkav masai takum mishna secha." Abai used to sleep in. The Gemara says that Abai used to sleep the amount of time that it took a person to walk from pumpadisa to Bekuvig, and I don't know exactly how long that was, but Rav Yosef quoted a pasuk in Mishlei about him. He said, "How long are you going to sleep, lazy person? When are you going to wake up from your slumber?" So again, it was viewed as a negative thing. Now, la halacha, again, whether you're allowed to take naps during the day, there are some poskim who talk about the downsides of napping in terms of Kabbalah. There are some issues with napping during the day that, you know, are a little bit beyond my scope of knowledge. But again, the Gemara, it seems to be saying that, you know, this Gemara is talking in terms of an aspect of Bittul Torah. The Gemara is assuming that if you're wasting your day napping, you're not going to be learning. So the assumption is, as many posts can point out, that if you're too tired to learn and you're not productive now and you need to take a nap, then obviously it'll be okay. That's I think probably the posture. I don't think we say la halacha that it's usher to take naps during the day if you need it. But again, the assumption is that you shouldn't just, you know, take a nap and waste time for no reason if you don't really need it. And that's the bottom line. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Hanichnas Lishan Bayom Ratza Cholitz Ratza Meniach, Balaila Cholitz Ve'eno Meniach Diver Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Yosi Omer Hayeladim La'olam Cholitzin Ve'enan Manichen Mipnei Sheregilin Betuma. So according to Rabbi Nasan, he says, if a person wants to take a nap during the day, so then they could technically leave their tefillin on, or they could take their tefillin off. It makes no difference. But if you're going to sleep at night, where the odds are you're going to really go fall into a deep sleep, then you have to take off your tefillin before going to sleep. Rabbi Yossi adds a further caveat where he says, if you're a young man, so let's say a person just turned bar mitzvah, you know, 13, 14 years old, so a young man has to always take his tefillin off even if he's napping during the day. Why is that? So Rabbi Yossi says, because he's regil in betuma, meaning the assumption is he's more likely to have an emission than somebody who's older, and because of that, we insist that he takes off his tefillin even in the middle of the day. So the Gemara says,
Is there a restriction for a nap also on Shabbos?
So, I mean, this Gemara doesn't draw any sort of distinction between Shabbos and the week, but again, as I mentioned earlier, I think even during the week it's okay to take a nap if you really need it. So I think certainly on Shabbos, when people typically are like recouping from a long week, I think it's okay. Okay, then the Gemara says, Lema kasava Rabbi Yossi bal keri yasser lahaniach tefillin. It sounds like from this Gemara that Rabbi Yossi holds that a bal keri is not allowed to wear tefillin. Now the problem with that is that if you look in the Gemara in Brachos never seems to say that. The Gemara in Brachos says that a bal keri is not allowed to learn, he's not allowed to daven. The Gemara never says that a bal keri can't wear tefillin. So why is Rabbi Yossi saying that a young man is not allowed, to, if he's going to nap, has to remove his tefillin during the day because maybe he'll have an emission, but that would imply that a bal keri is not allowed to wear tefillin. In other words, the Gemara in Brachos never seems to imply that. So the Gemara says, you're right. The issue is not that the young man might have an emission. Even if he does, it's not the end of the world. Being a bal keri does not prohibit you from wearing tefillin. The issue is that these young men, if they're married, they may engage in relations while wearing their tefillin, which is a serious problem. In fact, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Shachach v'shimesh mitasu b'tefillin eno uches lo b'retzuah v'lo b'ktitza ad sheyito yada v'yitlim b'nei sheyadayim askaniot. And again, I don't know what the, you know, exactly how this would work practically, but the Gemara says, let's say a person just totally forgot they were wearing tefillin, and they engage in relations with their wife while wearing tefillin. So if somehow that happened, the Gemara says, you cannot hold on to the tefillin. You can't grab onto the ritzuos, you can't grab onto the bias of the tefillin. You have to first wash your hands, because since during the act of relations, the assumption is that your hands are touching body parts that are dirty, you have to wash your hands first before you can handle the tefillin. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, Maisa vehevi ulu rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai lito mesatavshil ulu rabban Gamliel shnei kosavos udeli shamayim v'amru helom l'soka. The Mishnah tells us, they one time brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai some food to eat, and they brought Rabban Gamliel two dates and a bucket of water to drink, and they said, bring it, bring all the food to the sukkah to eat. When they brought Rab Tzadok less than a kibbetzah's worth of food, he would wrap his hand in a cloth, which again, as we know, as many people are aware, if you don't have access to water, you can wrap your hand in a cloth, so this way you're not touching the bread. This is actually a very common misconception. People think you can hold on to like the aluminum foil where the bread is. That's not what you're supposed to do. You have to wrap your hand in a cloth. Your hand has to have the foil or a glove or something around it, not that the food has to have the foil around it. So Rav Tzadok used to wrap his hand in the cloth, and also the Mishnah says that he would eat the food outside of the sukkah, and he wouldn't bench on it because it was less than a kibbetzah's worth of food. So the Gemara asks, Maisa l'store? This Mishnah seems to contradict the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, we learned that if you're eating, in other words, if you're eating or drinking or snacking, you're not chayv in sukkah. Now all of a sudden, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel are bringing all, their dates and water, which is not exactly a full-fledged meal, into the sukkah. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, chasuri mechsur v'hachi katane, imbala hachmir alatzmo machmir v'leis be'mishum yuhara. The Gemara says that it's not considered arrogant to snack in the sukkah. In other words, one might have thought that it's actually usher to snack in the sukkah, because you're almost like showing up the halacha. The halacha only mandates that you eat full meals in the sukkah, and you're going above and beyond to even snack in the sukkah. So one might have thought that's a problem. The Gemara says, no, that's okay also. And that's exactly what our Mishnah is highlighting. The inference of that story regarding Rabbi Tzadok is that if you're eating a kibbetzah worth of food, that food is in fact going to be obligated to be eaten in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, Lema to have it to you if they do Rav Yosef Abaye. That seems to refute the position we quoted back on Chavavam and Aleph of Rav Yosef and Abaye. If you remember, we had a machlokas earlier today. Rav Yosef held that only two or three kibbetzim are chayiv in sukkah. Abaye said that that the definition of achila sarai is just what you snack on. So this shita now, the implication of Rav Tzadok is that neither of those opinions are correct. It sounds like the shear of a kibbetza is what obligates you in sukkah. So the Gemara says, no. Dilma pachos mi kibbetza netila ubra. It could be that if you're eating less than a kibbetza, so then you don't need to wash your hands and you don't need to bench. If you're eating a kibbetza, then you need to wash your hands and bench. In other words, the Gemara was never commenting on the sukkah aspect. The Gemara in the story of Rav Tzadok was only commenting on the question of washing and benching, which has no relevance at all to how much food obligates you in sukkah.